Radio Prague News.
Czech President Miloš Zeman will attend this year's International Conference Dialogue of Civilizations in Rhodes. COBRA, a special team established to fight tax dodging, has prevented tax evasion to the tune of more than 2 billion crowns in the first half of 2016. And Czech javelin thrower Vítězslav Veselý will get a bronze medal from the 2012 Olympic Games in London. Czech President Miloš Zeman will attend this year's International Conference Dialogue of Civilizations in Rhodes, annually held by Russian businessman and close friend of President Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Yakunin. According to the news site parlamentnylisty.cz, Mr. Zeman will be the main speaker at the conference this year. The president's spokesman, Jiří Ovčáček, confirmed Mr. Zeman's participation, saying his decision to attend the Rhodes conference was influenced by the possible participation of the Slovak and Hungarian prime ministers, with whom he wanted to discuss the migrant crisis. The conference will open on the 30th of September. COBRA, a special team established to fight tax dodging, has prevented tax evasion to the tune of more than 2 billion crowns in the first half of 2016. The spokesman of the National Centre Against Organised Crime, Jaroslav Ibehej, announced on Wednesday. Nearly 50% of that amount was secured by regional teams. The anti-tax evasion squad COBRA was set up in June of 2014. According to the police, the team has prevented tax evasion of up to 6.2 billion crowns since its establishment. Some 1,396 foreign nationals were handed over from the Czech Republic to the neighbouring countries in 2015, which is an increase by 870% on the previous year. The hike is a result of an increased number of detained migrants who entered the Czech Republic from Austria and Slovakia. Most of the people were also returned to these two countries. In 2014, the Czech Republic handed over 144 foreigners in accordance with the EU readmission agreement. The Czech Republic in 2016 admitted 260 foreigners, 224 less than in the previous year. Members of the Prague Muslim community will condemn the recent terrorist attacks in Europe and protest against violence at a demonstration in Prague on Wednesday, the Czech news agency reported. In a gesture of solidarity, they will also silently attend a mass in the Church of the Most Sacred Heart of Our Lord in Prague's Jiří Spoděbrad Square, lighting candles and laying flowers outside the church in memory of those killed in terrorist attacks. Some 200 Muslims are expected to attend the event. Czech javelin thrower Vítězslav Veselý will get a bronze medal from the 2012 Olympic Games in London after a retroactive disqualification of his Ukrainian colleague Oleksandr Piatnitsa. The 31-year-old Ukrainian was stripped of his silver medal after he tested positive for the steroid turinabol and was ordered by the International Olympic Committee to return it. He was one of four athletes sanctioned on Tuesday by the committee after retests of stored samples from London and the 2008 Beijing Games. Veselý had originally ended in fourth place behind Antti Ruskanen of Finland. And 25 wines from the Czech Republic have made this year's list of the world's best wines. The Vin du Monde publication, which is released annually by the Union of French Winemakers, the Czech Wine Fund, informed on Tuesday. The samples were tested by 130 members of the international jury at the end of February and beginning of March. I'm Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Interior Ministry has announced a public tender for the development of a drone killer system, and we'll look at how the Czechs have been performing at the Olympics in Rio. Later on in Marketplace, Chris Johnston looks at the stabilization and revival of the Czech jewelry sector. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. The The Czech Interior Ministry has announced a public tender for the development of an anti-drone or drone killer system capable of taking out anonymous drones invading no-fly zones or other restricted areas. The package, website Ekonomický deník reported, is worth 58 million crowns. To date, the Czech police reportedly do not have a comprehensive system capable of sending rogue drones to the ground. Jan Wellinger has the details.
The last few years have seen a dramatic increase in the number of privately owned drones, and with it the possibility of security threats. While drones can and are used for the broader public good in everything from defense, emergency services, logistics, agriculture, communications, and entertainment, like any tool, they can be twisted to serve dubious or even nefarious purposes. From intrusion and spying over private property or restricted airspace to the potential plotting of or use in a terrorist attack, a threat highlighted by former British Prime Minister David Cameron earlier this year. The rapid spread of drones has strongly accented the need for a response. In the Czech Republic's case, the development of a surveillance system capable of taking down drones representing a threat. Numerous such systems, of course, exist already, capable of detecting, identifying, tracking, and neutralizing potential threats. The last includes jamming systems and even also means of taking control of an invading drone, mini copter, or other small remote-controlled aircraft. The system the Czech police would opt for would apparently be mobile, guarding perimeters at set areas. In time, the anti-drone system would also be used not only by the police, but also the prison service and the military. Jakub Karas is the director of the Czech Unmanned Aerial Alliance. He confirmed on Czech radio that drones represent a number of threats, underlining the point that the police and other security forces need effective countermeasures.
Drones can be used for spying or breach security at areas where large numbers of people gather, or even secret areas or sensitive sites whose operation could be threatened.
Sensitive areas include airports, military airports, and other bases, and specifically in Prague, the seat of the president, Prague Castle, which is a no-fly zone. Since the beginning of this year, 15 drone pilots in the country were fined for the improper use of the craft, either operating the aircraft without registration or failing to heed existing regulations, and the minimum fine for the misuse is 50,000 crowns. Even operators using drones for commercial purposes need to be registered, Czech radio notes, and all drone pilots need to respect aviation rules.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Turning now to the Olympics in Rio, and there's mixed sports news away from the stadium for Czech competitors, but on the courts, things have been going well for Czech women in both the singles and doubles competitions. Chris Johnson has the details.
Good news, the Czech Republic has just got an Olympic medal. The bad news is that it was 4 years late. Javelin thrower Vítězslav Veselý finally got the bronze medal from the London Olympics after the second place Ukrainian Alexander Piatnitsa was finally disqualified for doping. Veselý had been fourth in the competition. Veselý, who's competing in Rio for a more up-to-date medal, says that in one way it's the achievement of a dream, albeit not quite in the way he would have wanted. In Brazil, though, there was mixed news Tuesday for the Czech contingent. On the tennis courts, the Czech women proved their grit in both the singles and doubles competitions. Petra Kvitova came through a long 2.5-hour duel with Russian Ekaterina Makarova after losing the first set 4-6 in a very tight contest. Kvitova took the next two sets to book her place in the quarterfinals. There she will face an unexpected opponent in Ukrainian Elina Svitolina, who knocked out the defending singles gold medalist Serena Williams in straight sets, another surprise result in the tennis. In the doubles, both Czech pairings of Lucia Hradecká and Andrea Hlaváčková, known in Czech shorthand as the two H's, and Lucia Šafárová and Barbara Strýcová are also through to the quarterfinals. The two H's had the easier path, winning in straight sets. Šafárová and Strýcová, though, had to come from behind after losing the first tiebreak set against Canadians Eugénie Bouchard and Gabriela Dabrowski. They took the following sets 6-2, 6-4. Away from the stadium, though, there was disappointment for Czech speed skater Martina Sablíková and hopes of emulating her Winter Olympic success in the Summer Games in the cycling speed trials. Sablíková, a 3 times Olympic speed skating champion, initially cycled as part of her summer training for skating, but turned in such good performances that she decided to compete at the top level. Sablíková thought she'd booked a short Olympics place with her time in the Road Cycling World Championships last year, but the small print on the conditions did not in fact allot any Olympics places to Czech competitors on the basis of those results. Sablíková appealed that decision and flew out to Rio for a final sporting arbitration ruling in case she was given a last chance to enter the competition. But on Tuesday the verdict was announced and it went against her and her coach Petr Novák. He was asked by Czech radio how Martina Sablíková reacted to the ruling.
I believe that she cried up till the last moment she was training. Yesterday we went twice on the time trial circuit and she was flying around it. Martina was very well prepared, and in a way, that makes what has happened even worse.
Novák admitted that it will be tough for Sablíková to overcome her disappointment.
Chris Johnson with that report on how the Czechs are doing in Rio. And Chris stays with us now for this week's edition of Marketplace.
The Czech jewellery and glass industry is still inextricably linked with the North Bohemian city of Jablonec nad Nisou, although the business has gone through a tough couple of decades, with the workforce in the sector shrinking to around a third of what it was 20 years ago. But the grouping of just over 100 firms still focused on glass beads and jewellery still have a worldwide reputation, and an overwhelming majority of their production is exported to markets around the world. Around 90% of production is exported. And even though the Czech producers are facing tough competition from lower-cost rivals in India and China, there are clear signs that after stabilising their business, Czech firms are cautiously expanding and moving back into new markets at the top of the range. One of these showcases for the Czech producers is the annual summer exhibition of glass and costume jewellery, which this year takes place between August 11th and 14th. Last year it was attended by 8,000 visitors. This year's exhibition, the fifth, is called Fragile Beauty and will also include a special display of glass Christmas decorations, handmade and hand-painted. It's a sign of the cautious revival of the Czech firms that they're making a bid to get back into this market where Czechoslovak producers enjoyed so much success. Pavel Kopáček is the chairman of the Union of Glass and Fashion Jewellery Producers, which groups around 50 of the Czech companies, mostly based around Jablonec. He took time after outlining the upcoming Fragile Beauty programme to describe how the local industry is faring. I asked him, first of all, how big the local jewellery and glass bead industry still is.
Our good estimate, if I'm talking about the beads, glass beads, and glass beads, jewelry components, and costume jewelry is around 5 billion Czech crowns currently.
Rest, yeah, and the rest of the business, I heard some overall figure which was a lot bigger, about 45 billion, but that was for the whole...
45 billion is the total turnover of glass industry, starting from the glass sheets, industrial glass, etc. This is only the part of that, yeah.
And how is that in comparison to recent years? Has the industry stabilized? Is it growing? How is it developing?
The current situation is that the industry is stabilized. Talking about the steel jewelry industry, yeah, stabilized.
Mm. I mean, there were a few years, I think maybe 5-10 years ago, when there was a fairly sharp contraction. So have companies overcome in many ways the problems they had there with maybe energy costs and basic other costs and trying to find new markets? How have they coped?
There is a good sign. All of them are in existence, which means they have survived the recession period and managed to handle the situation. That's about a good reply to your question.
And how many companies are we talking about? How many companies, how many workers in this traditional area of Jablonec? Because that's where the heart is. Yeah.
Currently there are around 75 to 80 companies producing beads, components and the costume jewelry. And all around, it's around 7,000 workers. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And that compares, that's stabilized over the last 5 years or so?
This is stabilized. It used to be 20,000, but shall we say 15, 20 years ago. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And looking at the demand, where is the main demand for these products now, and how is it changing?
It hasn't changed that much. The main consumers of the beads are coming from Canada, USA, up to Japan. It's a worldwide distribution. Jewelry, costume jewelry, is mainly sold to, again, highly developed countries like North American continent, Europe, Japan, Middle East.
And which markets are expanding most? I mean, I presume in the past the Middle East looked fairly promising. Maybe not so much anymore. Or
no, I think still the key markets are United States of America and Europe, generally Europe. Mm-hmm.
And the competition, presumably China, India. How can you deal with that competition? Because they're competing on low prices, but their technology is advancing fairly well as well.
That's correct. The main producing area these days is definitely China, India, where we face the labor cost, the lower labor cost, and we face even the size, because it's the industry, you know, the large companies. So we can only compete by good design, super quality, added value, and a very important factor is the matching the EEC and USA health restrictions on production of costume jewelry and beads. I'm talking about the lead content and nickel release, etc. Mm-hmm.
And are there any positive signs? I mean, are the wage costs are supposed to be going up in China, maybe the same in India. Is there any way that this is giving you any advantage at all, or not really?
Yes, and it is starting since last 2 years. There are certain signs that some big players, what we call the big players in the West, are trying to come back.
And succeeding.
One of them is Marks and Spencer's.
Mm-hmm. They buy off you, or
they restarted buying in the Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm. Since
it started in 2000, it dropped in 2009, and now they are back.
And the low crown has helped you over the last three or 4 years, but probably will be coming out of the low crown. So is that a concern?
The situation currently is advantageous for us, but we have had the dollar 14 crowns, now we have it 15. It will have the impact, but I think we will have to manage.
Mm-hmm. Coming back to one of the themes, a special theme that you've got this year is Christmas. How are your producers trying to re-enter the Christmas market that the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia was so famous for, maybe 40, 50, 60 years ago? What do you have to do, and where are they targeting the markets?
We have no other option than to target the high end of business, because we need to present good design, super quality. We have no chance in bulk production.
Mm-hmm. And how do the Czech producers go about selling to the high-end market? I mean, they have to plan a lot in advance, and get the big stores on site. Yeah. How difficult is it?
It is difficult because it takes 1 year. The whole process of creating the range up to the shipments, 1 year.
Mm-hmm. And a Czech Christmas decoration would retail for around how much in crowns, euros, pounds, whatever?
A piece, of average piece, would retail 80 to 100 crowns minimum.
Mm-hmm. And that compares with the competition, the cheapest competition, Chinese?
One third.
But is the market, are the companies making a comeback in this market? Is it a market where people are willing to spend to stick glass items on a tree or wherever?
Yeah, they are. They are.
Pavel Kopáček, chairman of the Union of Glass and Fashion Jewelry Producers, in this week's Marketplace by Chris Johnson. And I'm afraid that brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.